Shabbos. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Yud Tes. Thank Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as Zichum Nishmas Liba Gavrila Bashmoel. We're on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and we are starting today with the words Tashma. Tashma is found a little bit less than halfway down on the Amud. It's a little bit more than halfway down. Okay, it's the first word in the line is Verabban and Kamiflagi, and we're starting with the word Tashma. Okay. We are having discussions within the topic of Tzraros. We know that if an animal does damage directly with its body, the gufo, so then if it's chain and regal, so then the nezik that the owner of the animal pays is nezik shalom. The owner pays full damages for the damages that are incurred directly coming from the body. Again, just as a recap, this is only going to be under the circumstances where it's b'rishus ha-nizak, where it's only in the property of the nizak that the owner of the animal has to pay for full damages. We also know that there's a special halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, that when an animal is stepping on a stone, creating a force, and sending the stone as a projectile into the direction of another item and breaks the other item via the projectile, so this is what's called tsraros. Another term used to describe this is kocho. This is basically the force generated by the animal, but the animal is not doing the damage itself. So then there's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, even though generally speaking halacha, we view koach as part of the guf, and generally speaking, if you generate a force and do damage and harm somebody via the force, you're going to be obligated. But if your animal does so under this category of tsraros, so then you, the owner of the animal, need to pay only chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek, it's mamon, it's still considered a monetary payment, but nevertheless, it's viewed as chatzi nezek. That is the very basics. That's what we've been discussing throughout yesterday's daf. The Gemara, starting yesterday and continuing into today's daf, is going to be asking a series of questions regarding the halacha of tsraros. So yesterday we started along this path, and we're going to be continuing over the course of today. So yesterday's question is the following: this tsraros payment that you have to pay, is it migufo or is it min aliyah? Okay, so just to recap and to refresh where the question started, and where we're going to be going with this question. So let's go to another area where we know the halacha is chatzi nezek, and that of course is keren. When an animal does damage with its horn, shalola hanaso, not to benefit itself. In other words, it's not eating, it's not walking, it's not scratching itself, but just it does damage with its horn. So this is meshuna, this is unusual, and therefore the owner of the animal also pays chatzi nezek. Now it's a different chatzi nezek. The chatzi nezek over here that's paid by the owner is going to be both the Rishus HaNizak, and it's also going to be in the Rishus HaRabim. And as the Gemara discussed earlier, in the conclusion of the Gemara is that it's a Kanas. Okay, so it's a different Chatzi Nezik, but ultimately it's Chatzi Nezik, you pay half damages. We also know that the Chatzi Nezik of Karen is Migufo. It is going to be capped. And what is the cap set? The cap is going to be set at the value of my animal that did the damage. So if my animal that did damage, let's say for example, is $200, so that's it. There will be no other expense incurred on me for any damages that are incurred, even if, let's say, the damages exceed $400, which means half damages are going to be exceeding $200. I still am not going to have to pay more than $200 because the payment that is coming for the damage that I did is going to be coming from the animal of my animal that did the damage. That's the halacha of Tom paying me gufo. Rava's question now is a very simple question, and that is, we now find another area in halacha in Nezek where we have this halacha of Chatzi Nezek, and that's by Tzraros. Is the Tzraros payment going to behave in the same manner as the Keren payment? So when I'm liable to pay for Tzraros damages, am I going to be capped at Gufo like Keren or like Keren Tam? Or no, Tzraros is really a byproduct. It's a tolada of regel. You know that regel, when you pay full payment to regel, it's min ha'aliyah. You're paying out of pocket, regardless of what the damages are. So the same thing is going to be true regarding Tzraros. Tzraros, I'm going to be paying admittedly half damages, but the half damages that are going to be paid are not going to be capped. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Regarding what's the difference between onus and non-onus? What's different
when it's categorized
as onus as opposed to
the onus over here, meaning what?
You mentioned that it's considered onus.
No, in other words, just be a little bit more, specific, so I can understand better.
There's no penalty involved in all the things that you said.
You, the owner, are going to be liable for the damages that are incurred by your animals.
Restitution,
but not penalty.
No. In other words, no. Just
onus is considered penalty, no?
Huh?
Onus is considered penalty.
Onus? No, I'm sorry. Maybe kanas. You're thinking kanas.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. No. So the difference is kanas. The biggest difference by kanas is that mod beknas pater. That if I admit to the damages that are going to bring about a kanas penalty, so then I'm going to be exempt from having to pay. That's the biggest difference.
Is that a function?
That's.
Why would just admitting basically make it better?
Well, because the kanas is punitive. It's not compensatory.
No.
And anything's compensatory. So then, obviously, I'm going to have to pay. But if something is not compensatory, it's punitive in nature. So then, the Torah is basically saying, if you're good enough to admit that you did it, so then you don't have to pay the punitive penalty. Admittedly, here's what I'll grant you. It's a little bit harder to understand in the Karen payment, because in the Karen payment you actually did damage.
Right.
So now, if I actually did damage, so I just because I'm admitting I'm going free. But again, go back to what the Gemara taught us earlier regarding the Karen damage. It's so unusual. It was so unexpected. Meaning my animal to put its head down and to gore another is, now again, I don't know much about animal behavior, so you know, but the Gemara's assumption is that was so unlikely. And really, fundamentally, you shouldn't be obligated to anything. But the Torah imposes a penalty that you should pay half damages. That's the way that Karen is viewed as a kanas. Okay, anyway. Our question over here, Rava's question over here, that's being addressed is the following. The Tzararo's payment, is it kap migufo or min aliyah, or is it out of pocket? Regardless of what the half damages are. And basically the question is, I mean, Rava spelled out the question. Do we follow, if chatzi nezik of Tzararo's follow the model of chatzi nezik of Karen, where there we know it's capped, so too here should be capped? Or that's one side of the question. On the other side of the question, Tzararo's is a function of regel. And since regel, you're going to be paying full damages with no cap, min haliyah. So here too, when it comes to Tzararo's, since, admit, of course, it's half damages, but it's half damages that are going to be like regel, which means no cap. And it's not migufo. And whatever the half damages amount to, you go into your pocket and you pay that and you pay that amount. This is the Gemara's question. Yesterday we made one attempt to try to answer the question. The Gemara did not do so. We're going to did not conclude. We're now going to go over another attempt to try to resolve this question. Now, over the course of this morning, we have Yudches. We're still in Yudches Amud Aleph. We have Yudches to cover. We have Yudches to cover. I don't think we're going to get back to speed today, but I will say this. Over a number of questions that the Gemara is going to ask, because the Gemara is going to ask a bunch of them, regarding Tzararo's, a lot of these questions are going to go unresolved. So you'll see a lot of that over the course of today. Let us begin. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here from the following. So we started learning the case yesterday, but we're going to start again from the Mishnah. The dog takes a cake. Now, the Charara cake over here is something that is baked directly over coals. And there are still pieces of coal, burning hot coal, on the cake itself. And then what the dog did is he went over to a haystack. And now neither the haystack nor the cake itself belonged to the owner of the dog, meaning the dog went down to somebody else's property in order to do all this wonderful damage. And so what does the dog do? So the dog eats a cake that doesn't belong to him. And furthermore, also, now exactly what he does with the cake in order to get the haystack on fire is not totally clear at this point in time. Let's just leave it right now, kind of a mystery in terms of how, I mean, you get the basic idea. There were some residual coals on the cake, but precisely what happened, we're going to leave that off as a little bit ambiguous right now. But basically, what the dog did is eat the cake and burn the haystack on fire. What's the halacha? Halacha rama mishalim nezek shalim. Now, on the cake itself, so how much does the owner have to pay? He has to pay nezek shalim, full damages. That is the classic example of shein. The dog ate it. Therefore, the owner has to pay for full damages of the cake, whatever the cake is valued at. The al hagadish mishalim chatzi nezek. Now, on the gadish, so you pay half damages. Okay. Now, here it gets interesting. Why half damages for the fire that burned the haystack? So my time Allah Mishum to have like Sreros. So here now the Gemara is starting to make its assumptions. Meaning it's from this very moment going forward that we don't know with absolute certainty. We know what the halach is, we don't know why the halach is. So when the Gemara now starts making its assumptions, so follow, because this Gemara, I mentioned this yesterday, I'll repeat it right now, this Gemara gets a little bit complicated. As we jump from one assumption to another, I will try my best to keep this as clear and organized as possible. That's my principal goal when saying the daf, and I may be successful. But so here we go now, here's where the assumptions begin. The Gemara says, let's assume now that in terms of the haystack going on fire, so that would throw us. Meaning that the animal kind of flung the residual coal onto the fire. In other words, the animal didn't do it directly, so therefore this is koach. This is come from a force generated by the animal, and so therefore the fire that was started by the dog was done through sereros, and that's why the resulting fire is going to be chatzinetik, half damages. Utni Allah. Now, once we're here, remember, why do we want all this? We want to resolve Rava's question, and that is the sereros payment. Is it going to be capped at gufo, or is it going to be whatever it is min ha'aliyah? Meaning you're going to be paying the full half damages, and with no cap, regardless of how high it can get. Now the Gemara says, so far so good, but we need one more piece of information, and this is very important. Utani Allah. On this mission that we just learned together regarding the dog, the cake, and the haystack, so there is a tosefta. This is not part of the Mishnah, but it's a tosefta. It's still tana'itic in nature. Mishalim chatzinezek migufo. You pay. Now, the word chatzinezek may or may not belong over there. The critical word in this tosefta is migufo. And most probably, it's going on the chatzinezek, but you'll see why that may be important later on. The Tosefta says that you, the owner of the dog, are going to be capped to having to pay only based on the total value of the dog, of your dog. Meaning the halacha of capping at gufo. Now, if we are putting all this information together with our speculation, here's what it sounds like. It sounds like that for the cake that your dog ate, congratulations, you're going to have to pay for the full value of the cake. I don't think it's going to be that much money anyway. But anyway, you are on the hook for the total value of the cake because that's Shane. The dog ate the cake. Then in terms of the ensuing fire that the dog started on the haystack, so again, assuming now that the dog flung the residual coal of the cake onto the haystack, that's Roros. Now when the Braisa says that you're going to be, I'm sorry, the Mishnah says you're paying half damages on the haystack. The Braisa says that you're paying it migufo. We're assuming, the Mishnah doesn't say this, neither does the Braisa, we're assuming that the damage came via tsraros, meaning because the animal threw the coals onto the haystack. So if you put all that together, so then what you arrive at is the conclusion that tsraros is a payment of half damages, capped. With the most you're going to pay is going to be the value of your animal that did the damages. That is right now where the Gemara is, what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara says, okay, if this is all the information that we've had, it's not so bad. Meaning, we have the Mishnah, we have the Braisa of Migufo, we have a little bit of speculation, it's not a lot of speculation, that the haystack was burnt on fire through koach, through a force, and not through direct contact. So far, it seems to be all pretty much in place. Here comes the sticking point. And that is Vitizbara L'Rav Elazar Nezek Shalem Migufek Miashkechan. So the Gemara says, however, there is, when we see this Gemara later on, all this is coming up in a couple days from now. When we see this Gemara later on, we're going to learn together that on this Mishnah, Rav Elazar disagrees. Rav Elazar the Tana. He disagrees with the conclusion regarding the haystack. He says that regarding the haystack, the owner of the dog has to pay for full damages of the haystack. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Why? We're going to get to in just a moment. But right now, that's a fact. Rabbi Lazar says you pay for full damages of the haystack. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar, you pay for full damage of the haystack. He also knew the Braisa that says that when you pay me gufo. Now the Gemara says, now here comes something which is just inexplicable. If Rabbi Lazar's position is that you pay for the full value of the haystack, where do we ever find in halacha that you pay for full value of something, and it's migufo? That is just simply it's a built-in irony. It's a paradox. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as paying for full damages and paying megufo. So the Gemara says, now that we've arrived at a bit of an impasse. How do you understand Rav Elazar's position that you're paying for the full value and it's megufo? So elikagon. So the Gemara says, Dishani baha begachelas. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, maybe it goes like this. We assumed up until now that the way that the haystack went on fire is through the mechanism of tzereros. The Gemara says, let us now change that assumption. And rather what happened was is that the haystack went on fire through the mechanism of shinui, meaning an unusual way in which the haystack was lit on fire. In other words, the dog taking coals from the cake and actually directly hitting the haystack with those coals. So that is an unexpected way of the haystack going on fire. And now, once we're talking about unexpected, unanticipated method of Nezek, that's Karen. Now that we're talking about Karen, so now we can understand it just a little bit better. And that is, Rav Elazar Sava Laka Rabbi Tarfon. Now, as far as Rav Elazar, you're going to be paid full damages. Why? It's Karen. Don't we say by Karen that you pay half damages, not full damages? So the Gemara says, fine. That's not a problem. Rav Elazar's position will align together with Rabbi Tarfon. We've learned together, according to Rabbi Tarfon, Karen damages that are done. Birishus HaNizak, you pay full damages. The Amar, Mishuna Karen Bechasar Nizak, Nezek Shalem Mishalem. That's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. So now what we're going to do is we're going to put together Rabbi Lazar together with Rabbi Tarfon, and that it's Karen, but Karen Bechasar Nizak, you pay full damages. And now we have made sense of Rabbi Lazar, but in doing so, we had to change the entire assumption that the haystack went on fire because it's Tzraros. Now we're saying that the haystack went on fire through Karen, and now our original question, we no longer have a way of resolving, because this is not a case of Tzraros. Velohi. So the Gemara says, but even on this, this is not absolute. The Gemara says, "My tama mukmas laka Rabbi Tarfon mishum nezek shalem." So the Gemara says, "Look, the reason why we went to the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon is because we needed an explanation of how Rav Elazar can obligate you to pay for full damages on the haystack." So the Gemara says, "Consider Rav Elazar suffer kesimchas damer tzoros nezek shalem mishalem." So the Gemara says that no. Really, in terms of the full damages that Rav Elazar has to pay, so he's going to be holding like Simchus's position. Meaning, let's bring it back to Tzraros. The haystack came on fire through not direct contact of the dog with the haystack, but rather a projectile. He threw the coal onto the haystack, and the haystack then lit on fire. And this is what's called Tzraros. Now, how can it be? We understand the Mishnah who says that you pay Chatzi Nezek on the haystack because it's Tzraros. And what about the Shita of Rav Elazar who says that you pay full damages? Rav Elazar subscribes to the viewpoint of Simchus. Simchus says that for Tzraros you pay full damages. That we learned together in yesterday's Daf. So the Gemara says, now so far so good, but still incomplete. What's incomplete? The explanation is still complete because remember, we have that Tosefta. That Tosefta says that when you pay for the damages, you're paying megufo. Meaning, if you subscribe to Tanakama's viewpoint, the Chatzi Nezek is gufo. If you subscribe to Rav Elazar, the full Nezek is megufo. And again, we were scratching our head because we're trying to figure out, well, how can that be? Once you're paying full damages, and let's remember, once we put it under the category of Tzraros, Tzraros is a subcategory of Regel. Whenever I pay Regel, I'm paying full damages, it's min ha'aliyah, it's out of pocket, it's whatever it is. We never cap the full damages. We never cap the full damages to the animal's value. If Rav Elazar, I know this is tricky, if Rav Elazar is following the opinion of Simchus, and that Simchus says that by Tzraros you pay full damages, and Rav Elazar is following that viewpoint, so then there is no way that we could say that that payment is going to be capped at gufo. That payment has to be full payment. That is Simchus's opinion. And so therefore it is left the Gemara now scratching his head trying to figure out, how could the Braisa then say, oh, it's capped at gufo? That's the question. Here comes the answer. Savalak Rav Yehuda de Amr Tzad Thomas Bem Kama Omenes. So the Gemara, I'm sorry, and let me just read one more line. The Chik Tani Migufo at Tzad Thomas. So here's the Gemara suggestion, and that's the following. This is really a general discussion, but now's the time to have it, as the Gemara introduces us to this idea the first time. When my animal does Karen damages, it's unusual, and therefore I only have to pay half damages. And we know, I know I just shifted from Tsaros to Karen. Okay, I realize all this gets a little complicated, but I'm just speaking now in general regarding the Karen payment. When I pay Karen payment on my animal that has no record, or very little record, of doing damages with its Karen, with its horn, so I pay half damages and I also get capped to whatever the value of my animal is. Okay, that's the basic halacha. Then my animal does it again and does it again, and so now my animal has done it three times, and now from this point going forward, my animal now is muad. Which basically means that from this point going forward, any time that my animal does Karen damages, I pay full, and I pay not only full, but out of pocket. With no cap. Now, when my animal converted from being a tam to being a muad, so up until for the first, second, and third time that my animal damaged, I pay the half damages. Now that my animal is doing it a fourth time, I'm paying full. Is that, there are basically two ways to look at it. Is it now that my animal is a totally new and labeled animal? Meaning the history of the animal now has proven that my animal is out of his mind. And I, the owner of this animal, need to take really special care in taking care of it. But basically, its tam is now gone. Its status of tam has been gone. It's no longer a naive, nice, pleasant animal. It is now a crazed monster. And I have to take full responsibility for any damages that occurred. But basically, the muad is like a totally new entity. And that means that when I... whenever my animal does damage from this point going forward, I basically have to go into my pocket, take out my wallet, and whatever the damage is, that's what I got to pay. That's one option. What's another option? Another option is the following. That really, the muad is really tam plus. Okay? Meaning that my animal was a tam. It was this wonderful, nice, pleasant animal to deal with, and it never gored, unless, of course, it started goring. But it never gored. And so, and it gored once, and it gored twice, and it gored a third time. After that point in time, it still carries the history of once upon a time being a tom, but now I needed to have been more careful because, look, it's got a track record, and I should have known better. It has a chazaka now of goring. But in this state of being a muad, I don't erase the past. In other words, at one point in time, it was a tom. And that means now that basically I'm going to be paying the half damages of once upon a time it being a tam plus another half. What difference does it make whether I'm paying it the first way and the second way? So basically the big difference is that if I view it the second way, where I still recognize that once upon a time it was a tam, I'm paying half damages migufo and the other half damages minhalia. This is one way, and this is Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rav Yehuda's position is that when an animal becomes a muad, its tam status still is intact. And I'm going to be paying the tam status, half of it being the tam status, plus the other half being the muad status. And the big difference is that the first half is going to be capped at the value of the animal. Okay, this is the idea of Sa'at Thomas Bemkoma Omedes. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Look, the author of Rav Elazar's position that you pay in the case of the dog lighting the haystack on fire, and the haystack was lit on fire via Tsoros, and Rav Elazar says you have to pay for the full value of the haystack. How can you say that, Tsoros? The answer is Rav Elazar subscribes to Simchus, who says that you have to pay for full damages for Tsoros. Then, how do you understand when the Braisa says that it's Migufo? So here's the explanation. You know what's migufo, the first half. Right. Meaning the first half is still, because Rabbi Elazar is also subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, Tzad Thomas Bemkoma Omedes, and so therefore when the Braisa was saying that it is, you're paying migufo, that is talking specifically about the first half, and only about the first half. Obviously there's a second half you have to pay, that's Minha Aliyah. Okay. Yeah, yes.
Every animal should be considered with a chazaka of tam until it gores for the first time. So this applies to all animals.
Agreed. But the case over here of the eating of the cake and the burning of the haystack is not coming through Karen.
Right.
It's coming through, the eating is coming through Shane, and the burning of the haystack is regal. Sraros of regal.
Not all animals are regal. What about the lion and so on?
Let's keep this as simple as possible. We're talking about your ox that's in your backyard.
Didn't Steph say there was Rishon Chatzin Nezek Megufo? So doesn't that kind of
meaning that according this is where it gets complicated, that the Chatzin Nezek is Megufo, the Brisa says, and what the Gemara now is
the first half,
because that first half it remains unchanged. It is only when your animal becomes a Muad, the only new line item in your bill is going to be, basically that's what it is. It's a new line item in your bill. Your old line item is your animal once was a tom, and therefore you have to pay the first half, but it's going to be capped because that's the halach of tom. And there's a new line item, and that new line item is, and because your animal was a muad, so you're going to be paying the second half, and that second half is uncapped.
So by the fourth time.
Now that's it. In other words, those are going to be your two line items in your bill. Okay.
So you have to take a leap, assuming that it's converting from Tzura to care.
No, again, this is where it gets complicated. You're confusing now the Tzraros to Keren. They are both similar in that they both pay half damages, but they're both not in the same category. Tzraros is a function of Regel.
No,
maybe also Shane, we talked about that yesterday. Keren is a totally different category.
But the thing is that you're converting Tzura to Keren by saying that for the third time, then it becomes a Muad, no?
No. We're going to ask the question in just a moment whether or not there's a concept of Muad as it relates to Tzraros. We haven't asked that question yet. That question's coming up. Right now, the only question the Gemara is dealing with is Rava's question, and that is, by the Tzraros half payment damages, is it going to be capped like Karen? But that like is very important, meaning it's not the same. But just like Karen is capped, when your animal's a tom, so Tzraros also should be capped, or no? Since Tzraros is a function of Regel, so therefore it is half damages, but an uncapped half damage. That's the Gemara's question. This is what the Gemara is trying to resolve. The Mishnah is trying to lead us in that direction, but again, now you see the complexity of the Mishnah, because we have to deal with the opinion of the Tanakhama, together with the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, together with the Braisa that's saying you're paying Megufo. That is where the complexity lies. Amar le Rav Sama Bereder Rav Ashi le Ravina. We are now in the very bottom of Yuches Amar Aleph, and the Gemara continues the discussion. Imen Deshama le Rabbi Yehuda B'tam Venase Muad B'Muad Mitrilaso Mi Amrina. I'm sorry, Mi Shamas le. So the Gemara says, "Wow, you introducing Rabbi Yehuda into this discussion does not seem to be appropriate, because." Look, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? Rabbi Yehuda saying is that when the animal goes from being a tam to being a muad, so basically the big change is going to be on the second half. The first half remains unchanged, meaning the first half damages that you're going to pay is going to be a capped first half damages based on the value of your animal that did the damage. Fine. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. But you see what you did? You then extended Rabbi Yehuda to the case of Tzraros. That's unfair. Why is that unfair? Because Tzraros is a subcategory of Regel. And Regel, we know, is Muad Mitzchilaso. Your animal will walk. Your animal will do damage while it walks. That's normal. That's expected. So you are now trying to use the Rabbi Yehuda model in order to explain Tzraros. But it's disingenuous, because the Rav Yehuda model of keep the first half independent is talking about where, by Tom, there actually is a first half. By Tzraros, there's no such thing as a first half. Because you're the only reason why we're paying Chatzin Ezek, Halach L'Moshe Misinai. But in terms of the nature of the damage, it's Muad Mitzchilaso. From the very beginning, you should have expected that. So Alakikama Rav Lazar Nezik Shalem Kigon Deiyayed. So the Gemara says, and now what leads us all now to wonder is, well, then according to Rav Lazar, why are you paying full damages? So the Gemara is suggesting now that maybe according to Rav Lazar, you're going to be paying full damages because the animal is muad, meaning the animal has multiple times sent projectiles out from under its feet and cause Tzraros. Or to be more specific to this particular case, this is not the first time your dog lit a haystack on fire. Your dog has historically done this maneuver of taking a colt, excuse me, taking coals and going and throwing the coals onto other people's haystacks. So the Gemara says that this is a case of muad, which is why Rav Elazar is now requiring to pay full damages. Well, the Gemara says, well, that, oh, I'm sorry, let me just read. So the Gemara says, and really now what's at the core of this debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar is the following. Tzoros, you pay half damages the first time. Why? Halach l'moshe mi-Sinai. So now, let's think this through. Let's think it out loud. Let's say it out loud. If now, let's say my animal has a repeat offender of tzoros and has done it so three times, tzoros three times in a row. Now the fourth time, just like Karen goes from half to full, is the same thing going to be true regarding tzoros? Does it go from half to full? And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that exactly is the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar. Tanakhama says no. The tzoros half payment damages is, it is, that is what the Torah obligates you to pay. For reasons which, the only way we can articulate is, halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. But that's it. And it doesn't, there's no upgrade when the fourth time and onward, that is the damages that you pay. Whereas what Rebbe Lazar would argue is, no, that the half damages that you pay operates very similar to Karen. It did it once, it did it twice, it did it three times. And then after that point going forward, you pay full damages, just like you would by Karen. This is what the Gemara now is suggesting. Now the Gemara says, "Elahad by Rabbi Yeshua Dalat Soros, Oeno Dalat Soros, Ola Rabbanan Ein Hadalat Soros, Ola Rabbi Lazar Yeshua Dalat Soros." So the Gemara says, "Well, that's interesting because Rava will ask as one of his questions, although we haven't seen him ask it formally yet, but one of Rava's questions is going to be whether or not there's a concept of Muad as it relates to Soros." Well, the Gemara says, if this is the way we're learning the Mishnah of the cake and the haystack, the dog, the cake, and the haystack, so then we have resolved the question by simply saying that the machlokas between the Tanayim. Now, when Rava, again, we're forecasting into the future, but when Rava does ask this question, he doesn't use the Mishnah to serve as a case study. Clearly, Rava didn't understand the Mishnah this way. Amal Charava Kimi Baili Lididi Aliba Derabanan Depliga Ala Desimchas. So the Gemara says, well, Rava will tell you the following. Look, as a deflection, I'm telling you why I'm not going to use that Mishnah as a case study. Because that Mishnah is subscribing to Simchas' viewpoint. Aval Hacha Bein LeRabbanan Bein LeRabbelazik Simchas Firlehu. I firmly believe that in that Mishnah, both the Chachamim and Rav Elazar of that Mishnah is following Simchas' viewpoint. Damar Tzoros Nezek Shalom Mishalom. So that when you do damage via Tzoros, you pay full damages. Which then only begs the next question: Utaima Mai Amar Rabbanan Chatzin Nezek. So why then is it that the Chachamim say that when the haystack is lit on fire, you are paying now half damages? Dishani Velo Iyayed. So the Gemara says, well, because the Chachamim view the damages to be categorized not under Tzoros, but rather under Keren, and it was an unusual way for the damage to have been incurred. And as far as why then would you be paying, according to the Tanakhama, half damages, and according to Rebbe Lazar, full damages? Well, that's going to be contingent on the debate between the Chacham and Rebbe Tarfon. When I do Karen damages in the property of the Nizak. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, well, wait one second. Because now, once again, remember, is whatever way we try to explain that machlokus of I'm paying for the haystack, either according to the Tanakhama, half damages, according to Rav Elazar, full damages, I still always have to deal with, I have to keep in mind that Brisa. And that Brisa says that it's cap migufo. I only pay for those damages based on the value of the dog. So the Gemara says, now, if the way you're explaining the machlokus is, it really hinges on the debate between the Chacham and Rabbi Tarfon, whether or not I'm paying half damages or full damages for Karen in the property of the Nizak, well, according to Rabbi Tarfon, when you pay full damages, do you ever cap it at the value of the Mazik, the damaging animal? So the Gemara says, in. Gemara says, yes, that is not absurd. So the Gemara says, because where is this halacha going to be generated from? It's generated from Rishos Rabbim. Meaning what the Gemara here is doing is just telling us the rationale behind Rabbi Tarfon's halacha, which is that Karen damage is done in the property of the Nizak, you pay full damages. It is based on a Kal V'chomer. Now, to be fair and to be honest, we have not learned the Kal V'chomer yet. So for us, we're going to just kind of struggle through these next lines of the Gemara, as the Gemara here is making reference to a Kal V'chomer, which we haven't learned yet. I'm just going to, and again, it's right now at this point in time, it's not tangential to our discussion, but it is really far away from where we are, from what we're trying to figure out. So I'm going to play along right now in the Gemara as if we understand the Kal V'chomer. We don't as of yet. So the Gemara says, Kal V'chomer, Karen Rishus HaRabim. So we learned it through a Kal V'chomer from Karen and Rishus HaRabim. Again, I'm just noting, we don't know the Kal V'chomer yet. But it is a Kal V'chomer. So the Gemara says, Dayelav Amina Din Liyos Kanadun. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, any Karen damage done in Rishus HaRabim, and the animal is not a Mu'an, how much do you pay? Chatzi Nezek. So if that's the Kal V'chomer that takes me now to the Rishus HaNizak, well, how much damage should you pay? You should pay half damages. So the Gemara says we have this principle of Dayo, that whenever I generate a halacha through a Kal V'chomer, I cannot arrive at a stronger conclusion than what I'm learning it from. That's the principle of Dayo. Thy Rabbi Tarfon Leithlu Dayo. So the Gemara says, now Rabbi Tarfon doesn't subscribe to the principle of Dayo. Ki Leithlu Dayo Hechda Mifrech Kal V'chomer. The Gemara says, well, he doesn't subscribe to Dayo if it upsets the Kal V'chomer altogether. Hechda Lamafrech Kal V'chomer is Leithlu Dayo. But if it doesn't upset the Kal V'chomer, then he doesn't subscribe to Dayo. Now, again, all this I'm just going to leave right now, not perfectly explained. It's just basically what we have arrived at now is just simply another way to look at that Mishnah regarding the dog, the cake, and the haystack, where basically the debate between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar of whether I pay for the haystack, half damages or full damages, has nothing to do with Sroros, is a function of Karen. Whether I subscribe to this idea of Karen Bershus and Isaac, you pay half damages and full damages, and the Brisa that says that you're capped and you only have to pay, you don't have to pay greater than the value of the animal that damages, in this case the dog, even the one who says that you're going to be paying full damages also subscribes to this idea that it's going to be capped, and that's because the entire halacha is learned from Karen Bershus HaRabim. If you understood all that, that's great. In the meantime, however, to Rava's original question, when you paid Sereros half damages, is it capped like Karen, or is it out of pocket like Ragel? Answer: right now, undetermined. Meaning, the Gemara spent a lot of time discussing it. We don't know. Meaning, when I say we don't know, the Gemara does not conclude. Gufa. We are in the middle of Yuches Amud Beis, and we are continuing now. The Gemara has another question. By Rava, Yesha Dalet Sroros, Oena Dalet Sroros. Now, we already touched on this question earlier, but incidentally. Now, the Gemara is asking the question straight on. So, again, my animal steps on a stone, launches a stone like a projectile into the direction of somebody else's kli, breaks it. So, now that is not Gufo, that's Kocho. Therefore, this is Sroros. Therefore, I pay half damages. Question. My animal is now a repeat offender. Having done this now three times, a fourth time now, launching projectiles in the direction of other people's properties. Do I now pay full damages? Karen, you go from paying half damages to full damages. Is it the same over here? Now again, the Gemara spells out the question. La Karen medaminan lei. Do we compare it to Karen? Where in the Karen damages, we for the first three times you pay half. After that, you pay full. O dilma talad de regelhu. Or again, let's keep reminding ourselves. Tsraros is a subcategory of regel, and that means that regel, there's never a change by regel. You pay for regel full damages. So for tsraros, again, for whatever reason, halacha moshe misin is the right answer. You're paying half. But basically, it's regel, which means it is, and it just continues to be. It's a constant at paying one half. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's learn this brisa. We saw this brisa already twice yesterday. We're seeing it now again today. Chickens jumping on the barrel, breaking the barrel. So, question of whether it's mu'ud or not mu'ud, the Gemara says, what kind of question is that? So, the chicken or the bird is jumping directly on the barrel. That, of course, is regal, and of course you're going to be paying full damages. Elahitos vihitis mine. So the Gemara says, well, the chicken jumped not on the barrel, but on a stone. launch the stone like a projectile into the barrel and hit the barrel. And so now the question is it mu'ad or is it not mu'ad? What does that mean? What explanation? Gemara says, Ma'alav kagon, da'ava tlasa zimna, uveha kamiflagi. This chicken has done this now historically. It's got a terrible track record of launching stones off of its feet. And has done so three times historically. And now, Marsava Yeshada, Marsava Ein Hada. And the Gemara now is suggesting that's what they're debating in the Braisa, where one opinion is Muad, and therefore full damages. The other opinion is no, it's Sraros. Sraros remains a constant half damage. So the Gemara says, Law, Bechad Zimna, Uvapukta Desimchas Rabban Kamiflagi. The Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, a simple way to explain this machlokus is a question of whether or not for Sraros you pay half damages or full damages. Meaning the machlokus between the Tanakama and Simchas. Let's continue. Tashma, come in here. Behema shihitila galalem leisa. Your animal decides that the perfect place to relieve himself, number two, and interestingly enough, that's important in this discussion. So your animal decides to relieve himself on your friend's dough that he's preparing. Okay, that is the ruination of his dough. I don't want to hear any other arguments. So the, and the... the and so now you, the owner of the animal, are going to have to pay what? Now I know this is funny, but it's just factually true. Question: how do we categorize this kind of damage? Meaning, what is this? Is this gufo? It's coming from the body of the animal. But as we generally categorize the waste material of an animal, so it's not the animal's body itself. So basically, it is force being projectiled out of the animal.
Why is it a shame that an animal has a benefit, like the relieving itself, I guess, a benefit?
The Gemara is going to answer your question. That's excellent. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what do you pay? So Rav Yehuda Omer, Mishalim Nezek Shalim, Rav Elazar Omer Chatzi Nezek. So Rav Yehuda says that you pay full damages, Rav Elazar says you pay half damages. To make this easy, I'm going to bypass a lot of Rashi, and I'm going to tell you what Rashi, at the very end of this of his lengthy discussion over here, says, which is funny, when I was preparing the Gemara, I kind of thought so immediately, but Rashi spent a lot of time thinking that these opinions were Tanayim. And that created a lot of confusion. Anyway, for our purposes, let's say it really simple. That these are Amoraim. It's Rav Yehuda the Amora. It's Rebbe Elazar. Now Rebbe could go either Tana or Amora. It's Rebbe Elazar the Amora. These are Amoraim who are arguing this point. Of what do you pay when my animal decides to relieve himself on your dough? So, full damages or half damages? My love, kigon, davatase zimna v'kemiflagi. So now, we know what the debate is. We don't know why they're debating. So once again, the Gemara now is going to make a suggestion. Perhaps the debate is the following. Mar sava yesh hada, mar sava ein hada. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the animal is a repeat offender. The animal has decided on multiple occasions to do this. And so now, the question is, whether or not it's sraros, meaning it's forced by the animal. And now the question is, whether or not there's a concept of muad when it comes to tsvaros. This is what the Gemara is now suggesting. Lo. Gemara says, okay, it's a nice suggestion, but no. We're going to offer another suggestion in terms of what the machlokes is. Bechad zimna v'plukta d'simchas v'rabban kemiflagi. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we're going to argue is that this was the first time, and in terms of whether you're paying half or full, it's going to be contingent on the machlokes between the chachamim and simchas. So the Gemara says, v'hamishunahu. So the Gemara says, now, this is unusual, right? This is something where it's not something where the animal is necessarily benefiting from, and the Gemara refers to it as Mishuna, which means now the that under these circumstances you shouldn't who would require you to pay for full damages if this is something which is unusual? So the Gemara says, the dachik le alma. So the Gemara says, well, the animal was squeezed into a particular location. Meaning that basically it's hard to paint the picture, and I'm to be honest, I don't want to paint a very specific picture, but basically the animal was contained in such a way where the animal had nowhere else to relieve himself, and the doe presented itself underneath the animal's the animal's back end, and basically the animal's expected to relieve himself, and the animal had nowhere else to go, and so therefore it's not a shinui, it's not considered an unusual form of nezek, and that's why it falls under the category of tsraros. Now, vilema, Rav Yehuda alacha k'samchas vilema, Rav Lazar alacha k'rabanan. So the Gemara says, so now, where do we stand with all this? The case is unusual, admittedly, but when all said and done, they're really just arguing about whether or not you tsraros, you pay half damage or full damage. So really, what the Gemara now is bothered by, it's a very simple question. If that's what the Braisa's intent on teaching us, I'm sorry. Let me say that again more accurately. If that's what these Amorayim are intent on teaching us, so why doesn't each Amora just simply say, "Hey, I hold like Simchus," and the other Amora say, "I hold like the Chachamim"? So the Gemara says, "Galala mitzrich le'sakad achamino hol basa gufe geririn ki gufe dami kamashmalan." The Gemara says, "Look, without speaking out this case in particular, as indelicate as this case is, there's something to be taught over here. Because I would have argued, you could have argued, that look, the excrement that comes out of the animal, that is not considered a projectile, that's considered the animal itself doing damage. That's considered as if the body of the animal is doing damage to the item. If it's the body of the animal doing damage, that's full damages that you have to pay. And what's being taught over here is that in the event where it is a projectile, it is the excrement of the animal, but that is viewed as sraros, that's viewed as koach ha-behema, and therefore, if you subscribe to the Chachamim's viewpoint, which is what we do halachically, so then the owner of the animal only pays half damages. Tashma, didni rami barichesko tanagol, shahoshid rosho la'avikli zechuchis, v'taka bo v'shavar mishalam ezek shalem. Gemara says, let's consider the following case. The chicken sticks his head into the glass jar. The chicken shrieks. The sound waves are so strong, it breaks the glass jar. So, Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So the owner of the chicken has to pay for full damages. The Amar of Yosef Ami Beirav. Sus, Shitsanov V'chamor Shina'ar. V'shibar Sakele Mishalim Chati Nezek. So we have another statement, which is that either a horse or a donkey emit such a strong sound with their voice, they break a kli, so you pay for half damages. So over here, breaking with sound waves, either your two choices are full damages or half damages. My lav kigon deshavar tlase zimne. And again, we don't know, so we are now making assertions and assumptions that maybe this is a chicken or a donkey or a horse that has done so historically multiple times. And therefore, b'hakim iflig, this is the source of the debate. Mar savar yeshadar, I'm sorry, u'b'hakim iflig, mar savar yeshadar, mar savar ein adah. And over here, the debate is whether or not the tsraros damages are subject to muad. So the Gemara says, lo b'chazim nevelpukta desimchas rabban kam iflig. So the Gemara says, nope. Once again, this is going to be your classic Sororos discussion, and in terms of whether you're paying half or full, is going to be contingent on whether or not you follow the Chachamim and Simchas respectively. V'hamishunahu, so the Gemara says, but isn't this an unusual way of breaking something? The animal didn't benefit from doing so. This is Karen. Why are we putting this under the category of Tsraros? Remember, Tsraros is regal, which means that this is something that the animal is expected to have done. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, in the vessel that the chicken stuck its head into, as did the horse, as did the donkey, so there was a little bit of feed inside of it. And since there was a little bit of feed inside of it, so you should expect the animal to stick its head in. Okay. And therefore it's normal. So, but okay, yeah, could be right, could be. Okay, by Rav Ashi, yeshinu letzoros l'revia nezik, o einshinu letzoros l'revia nezik. Okay, here we go. Next question, and this is the last one we're going to be covering this morning. Okay. Tsraros, any tsraros damages that's done by your animal, you're going to be paying half damages. Halacha Moshe Misinai. Our next question of the morning is going to be the following. When I pay my half damages for the for the tsroros of my animal. Let's say it's tsroros that comes about in an irregular manner, meaning irregularity by damages, generally speaking, is what we would call keren, and you would pay half damages. Question. If, let's say, it's tsroros done in an irregular manner, so therefore, is it going to be, is the irregularity going to half the half? Understood? That is the Gemara's next question. Now, on this question, by the way, parenthetically, Rashi over here presents this question in a couple of fashions. But right now, for our purposes, and especially considering the time, so let's just leave it as a question of, it's tsroros done in a regular manner, and does that irregularity half the already half damage payment? So Tishleim Adaravada by Ravi Yeshadalat Sraros and Adalat Sraros. So the Gemara says, well, look, previously Rav asked the question, is there a concept of muad when it comes to tsraros? So Mechlal de Ein Shinui. So the Gemara says, well, if we're asking the question of whether or not there is muad as it relates to tsraros, so you see that basically we don't look at irregularity in the process of tsraros, meaning tsraros is already the starting point of being a half, and the only question is, can it go up to a full? But we're asking in the other direction, meaning at the starting point when it already was a half, does an irregularity in damage, something which is unexpected, does that half the half making it a quarter? So Dilma Ravim Tim Salama Kamar. So the Gemara says, well, look, as far as Rav is concerned, maybe he's asking both questions. Im Tim Salama Ein Shinui Yeshada Ein Hada. So the Gemara says, look, if our starting point of the discussion is that when it comes to tsraros, there's no such thing as irregularity when it comes to tsraros, and therefore the first damage you're going to be paying is half damage. So then I wonder, says Rav, well, let's say it's a repeat offender. Does it get bumped up to full? Ein Hada. And, well, implicit in this line of questioning is, and let's say there is a possibility of irregularity within the tsroros damage, can we go in the other direction, where basically it's going to be, the starting point is going to be half of the half? Teku. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We have still a number of questions that the Gemara is going to deal with in terms of tsroros, in terms of how to view the tsroros payments, other permutations. Okay, let's just quickly recap. Today, on the tsroros discussion, today's daf was your test. We fell a little bit more behind today. That's good to recap. On the front of tsroros, where the Torah, the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is that if the animal does damage through force and not through direct. Through direct contact with the animal. So then the Torah says, Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, I need to pay for half damages. It is a subcategory of regel. And just, by the way, as a parenthetical note, and keep this in mind for tomorrow morning, if it's a subcategory of regel, I'm only liable for these damages if they occur Bereshus HaNizak, meaning regel and shein are exempt in a Reshus HaRabim, which would mean tsroros would be exempt in a Reshus HaRabim. So all this obviously can only occur Bereshus HaNizak. So the main question that we dealt with and took up most of our time today is from yesterday's daf, and that is the question of, when I pay the half damages on tsroros, is it capped just like keren is capped to the value of my animal that did the damage? It's tsroros also going to be capped as well? That's a question. The Gemara dealt with that question extensively. That was certainly the most complicated portion of today's daf, or yesterday's, I should say. And the Gemara left that question unresolved. And then, on top of that, we dealt with a couple of other questions regarding the tsroros payment. Is there such a concept as muad when it comes to tsroros, so that a repeat offender would have to pay by the fourth time nezek shalem for tsroros? And is there a concept of irregularity by tsroros, so that if it's an unexpected form of damages done by the animal, so do we half the half? That question also was asked and left unresolved.